It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper. Now, live from the Hyundai of West Dallas Studios, this is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball on Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in, you Milwaukee maniacs. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, getting you ready for Brewers-Dodgers Game 7 of their season series. Wraps up the four-game set at Miller Park, and this is the final game during the regular season for these two ball clubs. You just heard it in the update with Sam Schmitz here. Teams are tied 3-3, so this is game 7 of the regular season. Kind of brings back game 7 of the NLCS last year. Hopefully a better result for the crew today. Before we get you all set for today's game, let's put a cap and a bow on yesterday's game. Brewers, they pick up a nice 5-0 win yesterday over LA. Oh, man. Chase Anderson, he got the start, and he was electric last night. But let's get to the offense first. Game remained scoreless until the bottom of the third inning when you might have heard of this guy, Christian Yelich, came to the plate.
Stop what you're doing when this man's at the plate. And a fly ball hit back to the left center field, and he has done it again! A record-setting 12th home run in the opening month.
Yeah, he did it again, all right. Christian Yelich, he goes yard in the third inning, give the Brewers an early 1-0 lead. He wasn't done. He comes to bat here in the bottom of the sixth.
And he takes a curve ball deep to right! Unbelievable!
You know, what can you say? What can you really say now? You know, everybody's... You know, you're running out of good things to say with Christian Yelich. He is just on fire. The bat, it just doesn't stop. So... he is on one heck of a run right now. So the game, that he made it 2-0 there on two solo home runs. In the bottom of the seventh inning, little insurance runs here for the crew. Not that they would need them, considering they pitched an absolute gem yesterday. Lorenzo Cain, he gets on to lead off the inning, an intentional walk to Yelich. Then Ryan Braun comes to the plate.
Ferguson with the 0-1.
Brawny, he sure takes it personal when you walk somebody intentionally to face him, and he made the Dodgers pay a three-run bomb, capped the scoring, and that was it. 5-0, Brewers win. Highlights courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. We thank them for that. Chase Anderson last night, 5 innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 5 Ks. 1 hit baseball through 5 for Chase Anderson. And then you had the trio of Alex Claudio, Junior Guerra, Matt Albers. They pitched a scoreless 4 innings combined. L.A. only managed 2 hits yesterday. So just a complete gem. Then last night, Mike Vassallo, he's a PR guy for the Brewers, he tweeted out about Manny Pena. When he's behind the plate for the Brewers, they are 5-0. And the pitching staff has a 2.23 ERA in the games that Manny Pena starts behind the dish. So, you know, I don't want to say I'll say it. It's something you'll very rarely hear me say. Sparky might have been right on this one with the way that Manny Pena handles these pitchers as compared to Yasmani Grandal. And obviously, Grandal is swinging one heck of a bat right now, but you can't argue with those numbers from Pena. By the way, I should have said it right at the outset. Happy Easter, happy Passover, happy Atheist Day, if that's your thing. If you're celebrating a holiday today, good, congratulations, happy whatever. And I hope you're having fun. If you're just celebrating Brewers playing on a Sunday, cheers to you as well. So that was yesterday's game. How about today? Let's get the starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
All right, L.A. Dodgers. We'll start with the enemy. They are 14-9, good for first place. In the NL West, they are 5-5 on the road so far this season. They do sport a plus 28 run differential. That is pretty amazing. Dodgers, they line up like this today. Jack Peterson, he leads off playing left field. Corey Seager playing short, hitting second. Justin Turner is in the three hole at third base. Cleaning up for LA today, Cody Bellinger, he's out in right field. Max Muncy plays first base and hits fifth. Kike Hernandez in the sixth hole, playing second base this afternoon. Alex Verdugo, he's patrolling center field, hitting seventh. Austin Barnes doing the catching, batting eighth, and hitting last and doing the pitching today. Clayton Kershaw, he's 0-0 on the season. He's only made one start. It came Monday against Cincinnati. He went seven innings, gave up five hits, two runs. Good for a 2.57 ERA. He had shoulder inflammation, delayed the start to his 2019 season. The crew did rock Kershaw in game one of the NLCS at Miller Park. He only lasted three innings, gave up five runs, four earned in a game the Brewers won. But he did close out the NLCS strong. He pitched one inning of scoreless relief to close out game seven. So the Brewers have had success against Clayton Kershaw in the past. Again, your Dodgers lineup for today: Peterson, Seager, Turner, Bellinger, Muncy, Hernandez, Verdugo, Barnes, and Kershaw. Now, for the good guys, you're 13-9. Milwaukee Brewers, good for second place right now in the NL Central, one game back of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They sport an 8-5 record at Miller Park, and they do have a negative one run differential on the season. The Brewers, they go to battle like this. Lorenzo Cain leads off patrolling center field in the two-hole. Mr. MVP, you heard Sam Schmidt say it in his update, 9-for-17 career against Clayton Kershaw with two homers. So chances are his bat's going to stay hot again today. Ryan Braun, fresh off his three-run bomb last night, he's in the three-hole in left field. Yasmani Grandal back behind the plate today, cleaning up for the crew. It's Easter Sunday, so Jesus, he is playing first base. Jesus Aguilar in hitting fifth, playing first. Hernan Perez, he's at second base today, hitting sixth. Travis Shaw manning the hot corner, hitting seventh. Orlando Arcia playing shortstop, hitting eighth today. And in the nine hole, batting last and doing the pitching, Brandon Woodruff, 2-1 on the young season. He's got a 5.23 ERA so far. However, Woody brings more than just the fastball. He is 5-for-7 at the plate this year. That's good for a 7.14 average, two doubles, two RBI, and they've walked him. So not only is Woody going to be dealing on the mound, he's going to be swinging the stick as well. And, how everything stops when Yelich is at the plate. You should be watching Woodruff in the role he is on today as well. Once again, your Brewers lineup for this Easter, Passover, whatever day, Sunday. Cain, Yelich, Braun, Grandal, Aguilar, Perez, Shaw, Arcia, and Woodruff. Now we go out to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, bring in the star of the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show that you could be here heard right here on The Fan after every Brewers game, Tim Allen. Timmy, happy Sunday, brother.
What's going on? Happy Easter, and I noticed you used Jesus and Easter, and what a biblical scholar you are, Pipe Bomb.
That's what I'm known for. You know, me and McGivern, they call us the twin pastors here at The Fan.
There you go. You're right on Woodruff, though. I will say that. We go back to the NLCS and Woody against Clayton Kershaw and lefty-lefty and gives the Brewers a one-zip lead and the place goes crazy. That's That's some must-watch TV as well today, and Yelly's numbers head-to-head against Kershaw, very good. And that's the crazy thing about the stretch here that Yelly's on is, you know, he's hitting bombs off left-handers. And when you are lefty-lefty dialed in to left-center field, man, it means you're really seeing the ball well. And it is truly amazing. And sooner or later, these guys behind him have to step up. And you saw it last night. You know, I was at the park last night, and when they intentionally walked Yelly, it's the game was still in the balance. And Dave Roberts, he did the right thing, guys. I mean, there's no debate that all of us would have put him on. First base open, a struggling Ryan Braun, 3 for 38. But I was just, Baby Towson and I were saying, man, come on, don't let him do it to you, Brawny. Step up here. Don't let him do that, because we're going to see a steady diet of that. So whether it's Grandal, Braun, or maybe they pop Zeus once he gets hot into that spot, into the three hole. They're going to have to step up to cover Yelly.
Yeah, they are, and that's a great point. And I know that last night was at least the second of Braun's homers that he has hit when Yelich has been walked intentionally ahead of him. So it does seem like he takes it personal, and he should. You know, he's a former MVP himself. You know, Ryan Braun, yes, he's getting a little long in the tooth, but he's no slouch. He can still swing a hot stick.
He can, and you got to hope for that right now. And he seemed, if you really zero in on Brawny, and if you're a lip reader, probably better that he said those words yesterday than here on Easter Sunday, because it was very biblical in nature as well for Brawny yesterday. It just seemed like it was a load off his back, man. It did, and I was happy for Brawny to get that thing done, because it really gave the Brewers the win. The game again was in the balance right there.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I thought the same thing. You could see the ton of bricks just getting, you know, that he was shaking off when he was going around those bases. It was great to see. And if he gets hot, man, look out. That'll bring another dynamic to this fantastic lineup. Now, this is kind of scary because, as I kind of said it when we were talking about yesterday's game, Manny Pena, when he's behind the dish, Brewers 5-0, 2.23 ERA by Brewers pitchers. Do you put any faith in those numbers, or... Because I'm starting to think that Sparky might be onto something here.
Well, maybe, and I think it's something to take a look at. It really is. You saw last night that, you know, they shut out the Dodgers. That's going to happen. And with all the accolades of Yelly and Braun yesterday with the long balls, you can't discount what Chase did yesterday, especially after, you know, he pitched a 33-34 first inning pitch count, I was extremely nervous at that point. So let's not discount what Chase did, but after that, if you look at the bullpen in Alex Claudio, Junior Guerra, and Matt Albers, I mean, they didn't allow a run, and they had to fill four innings there. And you just start to take a peek at it and see, you know, I questioned some of the calls earlier in the series. Just the pitch call. You still have to hit your spots. But Josh Hader, 0-2 pitch to Kike Hernandez. I mean, I'm not sure that the margin of error is where you want to go with a fastball right there. And I know, I get it, and a lot of Brewers fans are saying, well, you got to remember, Tim, 60 of 62 fastballs is the way he started the season, immaculate inning and the whole deal. I just think it comes down to you have to execute. You also have to consider the risk in a certain pitch.
Yeah.
And I think that pitch was too risky against Hernandez. And, you know, you could say the inning before against Bellinger, you could say the same thing. And he was challenging Bellinger as well. So there's two ways to look at that. It just really comes down to certain moments in a baseball game. And if you looked at Friday night's game, as those moments, you had the Hader moment of getting Bellinger with the bases loaded. But then you have that moment of two on and game on the line, tie ball game, and 0-2 count to Hernandez. There's another moment like that. And Adam McKelvey and I were talking about the unique sport of baseball, for that matter, that it seems at times to some fans a little bit boring, slow. But you look for those moments, and with these two teams, they're not hard to find, guys. They're not. These two teams have been going toe-to-toe now for several months, so it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is, and it kind of makes me disappointed that this is the last game of the regular season that they're going to face each other because, you know, a series like this deep in August or something would be high drama.
Yeah, for sure it would be. And you know, we won't see that with the Cardinals head-to-head until August as they are going to head to St. Louis for the three-game set starting tomorrow. But, yeah, you're right. It is two teams going at it that are, based on the way the games have shaken out, it looks like they're evenly matched, and it looks like the Brewers step up. If you're heading into Miller Park right now, Brewers fans, I mean, bring it today. Get in Kershaw's head. Bring it today like it's a Friday night NLCS Game 6 at Miller Park, man. Bring it today. It's big.
Yeah, and I think they will. You know, obviously it's Sunday, so there's going to be a lot of kids there, but the kids are all going to be hopped up on sugar, so I'm sure they're going to be screaming anyway. So I'm sure Miller Park's going to be plenty loud. Now, with Yasmani Grandal, you bring him in. He obviously a big free agent get and everything for the Brewers. If the trend continues where when he's behind the dish, the pitchers aren't performing as well as they are with Manny Pena behind the plate. Now, it's tough because you've got Hook as, you know, the first-year pitching coach here. Would it be easier for the Brewers to kind of have, say, either Council or Hook start calling pitches and location? Or do you think that Grandal might be able to sit there and spend a couple days out at first base, especially if Aguilar and Thames are, still struggling? If the numbers continue like they are and Pena is obviously, making the pitchers better and they're struggling more under Grandal, how do you fix that situation?
I think, and it's an interesting conversation, Jeff, that you have to at some point take a look at it because Burns, Woody, even to a degree, Freddie Peralta last year all excelled, regardless of whether they were pitching in the bullpen, in the rotation, or on the moon. It didn't matter. They pitched well. And so you try and find a common theme there. And I don't think it's anything that, again, as I stated before, anything to panic about yet, but it's something to start taking a look at. And you're right that the versatility of this team, it is versatile. It is. Moose can play two positions. Shaw can play three positions on the infield when you think about that. Grandal, Braun, you can move into first a little bit. He's played there a little bit. But I don't think it's anything you do now. Again, you keep an eye on it. And I would hate to see $18.25 million be a platoon player based on pitch calling. You would hate that. So does maybe Manny Pena and Grandal continue to put their heads together? And I'm sure they do. I'm sure they talk about what Manny experienced last year versus what Grandal is going through this year. And again, I just think it's something to keep an eye on. There is a catcher's ERA. Mm-hmm. There's catcher's analytics out there that you can measure these things to a degree. But it still, I know what the organization is going to say, Pipe Bomb. They're going to say, hey, man, pitchers still have to execute their pitches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Two last quick questions here, Timmy, because we got to get to a break. First one, you're a multimedia star. You know, you dominated Facebook Live last night with Baby Tausch. Today, Easter Sunday, Passover's going on, all that kind of religious stuff. Is it hard to bring it on the post-game show today knowing that you're with the second string because Tausch is off and I'm with you tonight?
No. I don't let outside interference affect me in 13, now 14 years of doing this. I don't let the team on the field affect anything. I don't let personnel affect anything. We still have to do our jobs, and that's what it comes down to. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, whether it's with you or God himself. I just go in and we do what we do, man. We'll talk Brewers baseball, and what could be better than that?
Well, yeah, you bring it every night. Last question for you, Tim. What's your favorite Easter candy?
It's just solid chocolate, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Not the hollow chocolate bunny.
No, those are weak.
Yeah, they are. And then plus, they're a little bit messier. So you got to go with the solid, top to bottom. And where do you start? Do you start at the feet or at the ears?
I usually start at the ears, but what about you?
Me too, yeah, because then when you get to the torso, if you will, it's almost like you have to get a knife and just start carving big chunks out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Tim, thank you for a few minutes. Can't wait to, I'll be here, so I'm not going to be listening to you. I'll be with you for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after today's game.
Huge game, guys. If you're headed into Miller Park again, bring it loud today. Let's get into this one. A big game.
Okay. Sounds good, Tim. We will we'll catch you after the game. Thank you. Tim Allen, he joined me on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right, quick break here. We'll be back with more of the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show Roundtable Time coming up next here on The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the Roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, coming at you live from the beautiful Hyundai West Allis On Deck Studios. Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb here, getting you ready for Brewers Dodgers. It is round table time. Let's welcome in from the Brewer Nation. You can follow him on Twitter. It's Adam Rigg. You can follow him at Brewer Nation on Twitter. Big Rigg, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, it's a good Sunday, man.
Yeah, you got that right. Kids all hopped up on sugar today?
Not yet. They'll get their fill later.
Okay. See, mine are greedy, man. They woke up, started tearing my house apart at 6 o'clock this morning.
It sounds like a good problem to avoid by being at work today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sad that I'm not at home right now. So that's for sure. Now, how much weight do you put in? Obviously, yesterday, phenomenal outing by Chase Anderson. 5 innings, 1 hit, scoreless baseball. You know, Brewers, for the game only allowed 2 hits to that pretty deep and impressive Dodgers lineup. How much stock do you put in the fact that Manny Pena is 5-0, and when he's behind the dish, Brewers pitching only has a 2.23 ERA?
I mean, there's certainly something to be said for it. The catcher calls their game. Manny Pena's been with his pitching staff much longer than Yasmani Grandal has, of course. So there's probably something to the fact that he knows the pitchers, their tendencies, their strengths and weaknesses, at least as well than Grandal does. Grandal knows the Dodger hitters, though, probably better than anybody that the Brewers could offer. So the fact that, who the Dodgers had out there and, who the Brewers have put up against them, to me it's more about which pitchers the Brewers have thrown in the series. The matchups they've had, how the strengths of those pitchers in particular have worked for or against against the Dodgers hitters. You've had some bad situations, regardless of who's on the mound, or I should say who's behind the plate, with Corbin Burns giving up a bunch of home runs, the long ball biting certain pitchers, certain offenses having, more potency than other teams, and there's just a tough stretch of offense that the Brewers are facing right now. Grandal's getting most of the starts, and he has obviously caught the majority of the bad games from a pitching standpoint. So, I think it's not to discount Pena's skills. I think they're certainly there, but it's only so much that you can explain by pointing at that figure.
Okay. Yeah, and I was kind of in the same category. I still sort of am, but I'm definitely kind of dipping my toe more towards Sparky's side of things, where he thinks that you know, Pena just handles the staff a whole lot better. And, you know, obviously the season's young, and it's just a tough stretch to open up the year for the Brewers with the teams that they've had to face. So, you know, I'm definitely willing to give Grandal more time. But now, I just asked Tim Allen this as well. I'll ask you, too. Say this trend continues, okay, where when Pena is behind the plate, the Brewers staff is pitching phenomenal, and when Grandal's behind the plate, no matter what he's hitting, the Brewers staff struggles more. Would it be easier with the, you know, being a such a prized, you know, free agent bringing in and everything like that? Would it be easier for a rookie pitching coach like Hook to start calling pitches himself, or would it be easier to try to, you know, have Grandal start playing first base more or something like that?
Of those options, it's certainly easier to have Grandal do something else than I think it would be to have Hook try to call a game from the dugout. You know, Grandal knows what he's doing with the pitching staff. He's a good receiver. He doesn't block the ball particularly well, as we've seen over the last couple of years, at least relatively speaking. But, you know, you're not going to, at this level of the game, I mean, what are you going to do, have Manny Pena call the pitches from the dugout because he knows what to call in a certain situation? I mean, it's all about putting in the effort, putting in the time. You know, if there is something to be said there, then, you know, Grandal and Pena can work together and help Grandal get more up to speed with it. And maybe you let Pena start, you know, a little bit more often than he does. You know, as Grandal, as the season wears on and Grandal starts to, you know, get more innings under his belt, you know, takes a physical toll. You can only catch so much in this league. But I think at the end of the day, if it proves out that it's that stark of a contrast, then you certainly pick your spots with Pena. You know, you give him the pitchers that have struggled the most and see if there is more to be gained from that those pairings. You know, but you can't take the bat out of Grandal's hands. You certainly can't. I think it's about winning games, and this isn't going to come off the way I mean it to, but you can't insult Grandal and take calling the game out of his hands just because, you know, you think Pena does the job better. I think with everything in baseball, with everything in sports, you know, repetition makes you better. And if there is something to be learned or to grow in some way for Grandal's game calling, then that's you're going to do that by being in the game and choosing those you know, pitch calls and having the results speak for themselves.
Okay, and now joining us on the round table, pulling up a plate, unfortunately not full of ham, is the rock star from Chuck and Winkler, Mr. Chuck Freeman. Chuck, welcome to the round table.
Hey, Jeffers, good to be here, dude.
Man, I just had to shake my head when I heard you and Bart talking about Easter dinner, and you said that ham wasn't your thing, and you were all for turkey. I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh man, I tell you, of all the meals, I love Thanksgiving meals, I love Christmas meals, I love Christmas Eve meals. I like it all, but Easter meals, man, ham, potatoes, and corn just doesn't do it for me. Just doesn't turn the key for me, man. It doesn't. I don't like it at all.
See, I'm the opposite. To me, turkey is just, you know, awful. It's so bland. You have to drown it in gravy to give it any kind of flavor. I'll take ham 7 days a week.
Oh, see, I mean, the other way, no. But you know something? I like hot ham sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good with hot ham sandwiches. Just not hot ham, the combination of hot ham, potatoes, and vegetables.
Okay. All right, well, we'll forgive you for that on this Easter Sunday, Chuck. Do you put any weight in the fact that the amount of success that Pena's had behind the plate over Grandal with the pitching staff so far this season?
No, because I think Grandal, you know, it's the first couple of weeks with the team, and look what Grandal is as a hitter, man. You know, he's a terrific hitter. I'm the first to admit that I was not a big fan of giving him a one-year, $18 million deal. And the first time I had a chance to see Grandal extensively last year, Jeff, was in the postseason. And I was not impressed, man. I was like, geez, they wanted, in Los Angeles, when I was driving to the game and I was listening to the talk shows out there, they wanted him out of the lineup. But he did get benched because he was terrible. But, I mean, he's been nothing but a ringing success. And, no, I think Manny Pena 2 years ago had a career year. Nice backup catcher at this point. But you don't want Manny Pena as your everyday starter.
Okay.
Jeff, the sample size in that is just so small, too.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, 5-0 when he's behind the dish. A low two ERA for Brewers pitchers. He was behind the dish when Freddie Peralta pitched his gem and all that. So it just, you know, some of the outings just kind of jump off the page at me.
Look at run production between Manny Pena and Yasmani Grandal. That's all I need to know.
Oh, I know. I know. It's that, you know, it's hard to sit that bat. So I agree with you on that one. How surprised were you about Chase Anderson's outing last night, Chuck?
You know, it's funny. In a way, I'm not surprised. It seems like any time a guy gets put into a spot like yesterday, into a spot start, and, you know, you just kind of throw him in there, usually for one game, he's pretty good. I remember Mike Fiers a couple of years ago. He was called up to face this Dodger team with Zach Greinke on the hill a Saturday night, and he was going against Greinke, and Fiers came out and pitched like 7 innings of 3-hit ball. It wasn't that great after that, but, you know, for that performance, he was pretty good. So I think I've seen that before. I've seen this story before. I've seen that movie before where a guy has come up out of the bullpen, made a spot start, and has been pretty good. He got by the first inning. You know, the first inning, he threw like 30 pitches, and then he got some confidence rolling a little bit, and then he, you know, eventually gave way to the bullpen, and they were good as well. But, you know, Chase got by the first inning. Otherwise, it looked like it was going to be trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, you're listening to the Roundtable here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. Adam Rigg, you can follow him on Twitter at Brewer Nation. Chuck Freeman, you can follow him on Twitter at Chuck Freeman. Last question here for you guys. You know, obviously I'm sure that the Brewers are looking forward to starting to face some easier teams coming up here in the weeks ahead. But are you kind of sad that, you know, this Brewers-Dodgers rivalry, 3-3, they were, you know, obviously went to Game 7 in the NLCS. They're 3-3 in the regular season series. This is the last game for the regular season. I think a late August, early September matchup would be high drama. So, yes, I'm glad that the schedule is going to get easier for the crew, but I'd like to see some late drama with this team, you know, heading into playoff time. What say you, Adam?
Well, as far as the Dodgers go, it'll be good to. Chances are we'll see these guys in the playoffs, right? If both of these squads are fortunate enough to stay healthy enough to make the postseason, then it stands to reason that, you know, these two powerhouse teams have a good chance of meeting again in the postseason. So it's good to have a little bit of absence, making the heart grow fonder. You know, we saw a lot of the Dodgers last year late. We know how things ended up in the NLCS, as you mentioned, and this season series so far, you can see how evenly matched they are. So the fact that they get to, you know, take some time apart, have their seasons play out, and then hopefully come back together for what would be a very high drama postseason series, I think that would be a fun experience to have for the players and for the fans, certainly. And maybe it can be that, you know, final hurdle to overcome to make it to a World Series for the first time in seemingly forever, you know, longer than many fans have been alive at this point.
Yeah,
it would be a good combination, I think, you know, to have these guys be apart for a little bit.
All right, sounds good. That's Adam Rigg. Follow him on Twitter at Brewer Nation. Big Rigg, last quick question here for you because we got to get to a break. But what's your favorite Easter candy?
I am a Cadbury caramel egg guy.
Oh yeah.
Through.
Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty. Love them, love them. Hey, thank you for a few minutes, Big Rigg.
I guess. Talk to you soon.
Take care. And, Chuck, same question. Are you kind of happy that the Brewers are going to be done with the Dodgers now, or do you wish they had a late-season matchup?
First of all, I'm surprised that this is not the Sunday night game tonight. Brewers-Dodgers?
Me too.
Yes. How is this not the Sunday night game? I'm glad, because, you know, I'm all for Sunday afternoon games, and the Brewers are never on Sunday night baseball. But who was the idiot that overlooked the Brewers and Dodgers for a Sunday night baseball game? I mean, gosh, really? I think the schedule just was ridiculous to start off. I mean, how you're playing the Cardinals, Jeff, nine times in the first month of the season, and the Dodgers, yes, spread it out a little bit, man. I think playing the same team in the division 18, 19 times is way too much already, as they do with the rest of these teams in the division. But, you know, we're going to see the Cardinals again. We're driving here, and my girlfriend Shannon said, you know, who do the Brewers play tomorrow? I said, well, they're in St. Louis. She was like, again? Yeah, but which was funny. I was talking to their manager, Schilt, last week, and he kind of joked, God, I'm going to be glad to see you guys go. And I go, you're probably tired of us. He goes, we actually have been in Milwaukee. This is a St. Louis manager. We've actually been in Milwaukee more times than we have staying overnight in St. Louis so far. And this was, you know, earlier last week. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're tired of Milwaukee. They've hardly been at home. You know, they've been home the last few days, but they've been in Milwaukee more times than their home stadium. So that's just odd over the first month of the season. But, yeah, I'd like to see it spread out a little bit more, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chucky. What's your favorite Easter candy?
Oh, I like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Does that count?
Oh, yeah, the classic. That's delicious, my friend. I agree with you. All right.
I can go for like 10 or 11 of them right now.
You and me both. Well, Chuck, thank you. That's Chuck Freeman, rock star from Chuck and Winkler here in the mornings on The Fan. Six to ten Monday through Friday. Chuck, can't wait to hear your recaps on all the Brewers, Bucks, NFL draft, everything. It's going to be a crazy week. Tune in all week, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10. Chucky, thank you.
It will be. Have yourself a great Easter, Jeffers, and all our great listeners. Happy Easter from out here at Miller Park today.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. And Chuck and Big Rig both join me here on the roundtable on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
All right. Still a lot more to get to here on Appella Windows and Doors, the Wisconsin On Deck Show. Quick break, and then we'll be back. You'll hear from manager Craig Council and more coming up here on The Fan.
How's the turf? Is weather a factor in today's game? Let's get the Steins Garden and Home Field and Game Conditions. Steins Premium 4-Step Lawn Program is comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. 16 locations, family-owned since 1946. Shop Steins.com.
Yeah, get out to Steins. It's lawn season. Field and Game Conditions. It's gorgeous outside Milwaukee. You know that. Right now, 68 degrees, partly sunny. A light 9-mile-an-hour wind coming from the southwest in time for first pitch. 70 degrees, same, partly sunny, 9-mile-an-hour wind. It is a beautiful day to tailgate, to watch baseball, to do whatever you need to do. Let's get this scoop from the skipper.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Council have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
Yeah, Craig Council, he addressed the media after last night's 5-0 win, and here's what Craig Council had to say.
You know, there's some things, you know, I expected him to get off to a good start and continue what he was doing last year. You know, this homestand has been absolutely incredible and is, you know, surpassing what we could all even draw up or imagine it, you know, really right now.
The moment late in the game, too, you're probably going to see teams treat him like they treated him with the base open. And for Braun to step up in that moment and deliver, that's probably just as important as the two Yelich homers for moving forward.
Well, it was a big moment for Ryan. You know, as much as anything, and you know, we talked about needing a home run. I mean, that's you know, it's never happened to Ryan before. You know, and so it was a great spot to see a great performer, you know, perform, and so I was really happy for him. It was the spot that if you could have picked the spot for him to come through. You know, that something like that happening is it.
Craig, David and you guys thought that that Yelly would fare well at Miller Park, and obviously way better than his big place in Miami. But he's got 35 home runs in 87 games at Miller Park, and all 13 of his home runs this year at Miller Park. I mean, the numbers are just mind-boggling.
I'm glad he plays at Miller Park. I mean, that's it's just I think he is too.
What do you think about Chase's performance?
I thought Chase was fabulous. I mean, that, you know, there's a bunch of big stories tonight, but I think the way Chase threw the ball tonight was, you know, the first three or four innings were just, you know, as good as we've seen Chase Anderson. It was really good stuff. I thought his delivery was just, you know, the way that it should look. The tempo was outstanding. His misses were in the right spots. It was a really nice performance.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, we all know the role that Christian Yelich is on and all that, and he spoke to the media after last night's game, but... How about Ryan Braun? His bat woke up. Yelich got intentionally walked ahead of Braun. He launched a three-run homer to cap the scoring last night. Ryan Braun spoke to the media after last night's game.
Did you figure they would walk Yelich even though it's lefty on lefty?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way he's swinging the bat, it doesn't make sense not to walk him. I think there's probably very few guys that are playing the game today who would even make them hesitant to walk him. So what he's doing has been so incredible. Obviously, it made sense in that situation.
Is that a first
lefty that I can remember? You know, if you look at my career numbers against lefties, I've obviously been pretty good. This year I've been bad against everybody, and Yelich's been impossibly good. So I think, the combination of those two things obviously made a lot of sense for them to do what they did. But I don't remember that having ever happened before.
I was going to say, to come through and move forward, they're going to probably put up four fingers more and more. And it's going to be on you and Jesus and Travis to come through in a moment like that today. Is it sort of meaningful moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest at-bats are always the ones with runners in scoring position, but especially when you have somebody that's going as good as Yelich's going, it makes no sense for the other team to allow him to be the guy to beat them. So it's really important that a lot of us start swinging the bats better. Obviously, it's been a struggle. This can be an incredibly difficult and challenging and frustrating game at times. It's been like that for me, as Lo Kane is talking in the background. Aggie, Travis, all of us have to get going, and we anticipate having a lot of depth offensively, and we do, but it just hasn't been good, through the first quarter. We got 18-20 games into the year, so it's really important for him to continue to get any pitches to hit that all of us start swinging the bats better.
Ryan, you did this in the Cardinals series against Jack Flaherty too. I mean, just as a competitor, how much do you enjoy kind of that moment when you see them walk in and get to you?
Yeah, by some miracle, of the few balls I've hit hard, they've all happened to come with multiple guys on base. I've been fortunate that I think all four of my homers have been three-run homers, so I don't know, maybe I'm able to lock it in a little bit more in those situations or whatever, but it's been a struggle. It's been challenging for me. I think just getting to a place where I have a repeatable swing. I've hit some balls hard at people, which I always tend to do, but I've had a lot of bad at-bats, haven't seen the ball very well, but fortunately, in the few opportunities I've had with runners on base, I've swung the bat a little better than I have overall.
That was Ryan Braun after last night's 5-0 victory over the Dodgers. Still more to get to here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back, Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin On Deck Show. Jeff Orlowski getting you ready for Brewers-Dodgers Game 4. Game 7, the final game of the regular season between these two teams. Injury report for the crew, Mike Moustakas. He left yesterday's game early. He had a bruised right ring finger listed as day-to-day. Moose is going to be fine. I would expect him to play any time now.
Some of the Brewers are hot, while some are not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at bayviewshade.com.
Well, who's hot, who's not on a crew? Manny Pena, he's hot. When he's behind the dish, the Brewers are 5-0. Their pitching staff has a 2.23 ERA in the games that Manny Pena starts behind the plate. Christian Yelich, we all know the story there. Eric Thames in the last week, he's gone 4-for-12 with a homer and two driven in as well. So Eric Thames is hot also. I want to thank all you guys for listening today. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show coming at you live from the Hyundai West Allis On Deck Studios. I want to thank Tim Allen, the star of the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, can be heard after every Brewers game right here on The Fan after the last pitch today. Tune in for that. I want to thank Adam Rigg from BrewerNation.com. Follow him on Twitter at BrewerNation, and Chuck Freeman. Follow him at Chuck Freeman for joining me on the roundtable. Sam Schmitz pressing all the buttons, all the right buttons on the board, and keeping me in line here as best he could. Happy Easter, happy Passover, happy Sunday. If you're not celebrating anything, enjoy the game, Milwaukee. Go Brewers!